Kia ora, and welcome to Fiordland. You're about to take an unforgettable journey along the world-famous road to Milford Sound. My name's Mike, and I'll be your local guide for the duration. We're going to travel through wild landscapes that'll remain in your memory for the rest of your life. Expect plenty of lakes, mountains, forest, and rivers. And remember that the scenery just gets better the further we drive. Milford Sound, here we come. The town of Teano started life as a community of sheep farmers around the 1850s. They chose this location because it was a bit flatter and drier than other parts of the region, with plenty of grazing and not so many forests. There's still a lot of farming in the area, but now there's another important industry too. When the Milford Track opened at the end of the 19th century, visitors started coming to explore the spectacular scenery that was fast becoming famous. They all needed somewhere to stay, and so Teano became the region's tourist centre. Things really took off when the Milford Road was completed in the 1950s, and the town soon became known as the Gateway to Fiordland. These days, about 90% of Teano's visitors come from overseas. It's the main base servicing Fiordland National Park, the Great Walks, and Milford Sound. Tourism is the town's lifeblood. And even if you didn't leave Teano, you'd still find plenty to do in the form of cruising, scenic flights, sailing, fishing, good food, farm tours, and local walks. Teano sits at the end of the lake from which it takes its name. It's the second biggest lake in New Zealand, after Lake Taupo, which is up on the North Island. The town sits on the only flat part of the shore. As we drive along the lake, you'll see that most of it rises very steeply into the mountains. It's a similar picture below the waterline, 417 meters straight down to the deepest depths. The surface of Lake Teano covers 300 square kilometers, and it has 500 kilometers of uninhabited shoreline, with three long arms creeping out like fingers into the clefts of the western shore. That side of the lake gets more rainfall than this side. If you look to your left across the water, you can see that most of it's covered in dense rainforest. The landscape of Fiordland has been constantly changing since the beginning of time. Local rocks and fossils tell the story of a land that has been, at different times, wet and dry, warm and cold, flat and mountainous. Long ago, this lake was formed by retreating glaciers. There's also an incredible network of limestone caves where those mountains meet the water. The lake and town took their name from them. They're called Teano O Caves, from the Māori meaning caves of rushing water, which describes them pretty well. You can catch a boat there from Teano. It's well worth doing, especially to see the famous glowworms. The caves are not the only amazing thing about the western shore. Those rugged peaks across the lake to your left are the Murchison Mountains. They're so remote and impenetrable that they offer protection for a creature long thought to be extinct. You're looking at the last known refuge of the wild takahe. The takahe is a species of flightless bird about the size of a chicken, with green and blue feathers and a bright red beak and legs. Like so many of New Zealand's native birds, takahe were easy prey for hunters and introduced predators. Soon, they were only spotted very rarely, and by the end of the 1800s, they were considered to be extinct. The mountains kept their secret for 50 more years, until one day in 1948, when a doctor from Invercargill went exploring. His name was Geoffrey Orbell, and you can imagine his surprise when he discovered an entire colony of these extinct birds happily living on the mountain slopes. It makes you wonder what other secrets still lie hidden in the deepest nooks and crannies of Fiordland. If you want to meet a real live takahe, you can, at the Wildlife Park in Teano. The Māori were here when Captain Cook set up camp at Dusky Sound south of Milford in 1773. he stayed for 5 weeks, ate seals and birds, and made friends with local Māori families, even welcoming them aboard and showing them the ship's cat. One of the sailors on Cook's ship remembered the abundance of seals and returned in 1791 to hunt them. Within a year, a sealing colony had been set up on the coast, along with New Zealand's first colonial building. The slaughter of fur seals began in earnest and didn't end until the industry began to fail 30 years later, because there were no seals left. In 1829, they started going after whales, and exactly the same thing happened. Fiordland fell quiet for a time after that, as the Europeans concentrated on other areas. The Māori disappeared too, due to the outbreak of war between the two main tribal groups. The scattered survivors became known as the Lost Tribe, and the only trace of them that anyone ever saw was the odd smoking fire or fresh footprint. In 1851, the coast was surveyed by a Captain Stokes, and the following year, the first Europeans made it to Lake Taano and began to settle here. One of the first families to move into the area was the Hankinsons, who had a couple of sheep stations along here. The first Hankinson brother, Donald, cut a track through the forest to Taano Downs, which we're roughly following right now. Another brother, a sea captain, put his talents to use charting Lake Taano for the first time. Along the roadside here, you'll see lots of manuka trees. Manuka is a black-looking tree which is covered with pinky white flowers for most of the year. You can't miss it. It's reputed to have medicinal properties, and of course, it helps us make our famous manuka honey. Let me introduce you to another character well known in these parts. In 1877, a mysterious man came to live at Milford Sound. Donald Sutherland was born in Scotland and made a living as a soldier, first in Italy and finally in New Zealand. He'd visited Milford a few years before on a sealing expedition and said that if he was ever to settle anywhere, it would be there. And so, when he was done with fighting, he bought a little boat and a dog called John O'Groats and sailed into the wilderness. Sutherland spent 40 years at Milford Sound. He was into exploring and really got to know the country right up through these mountains. He probably knew this land better than anyone. He was a solitary character, though, and once spent 2 whole years alone in the wilderness with only the dog for company. Not surprisingly, he became known as the Hermit of Milford Sound. But his peace was shattered as the area became a tourist attraction, and all these steamboats and painters and trampers started turning up. In 1890, he became the fourth husband of a widow called Elizabeth Samuel, and together they built a hotel on Milford Sound and played host to the weary travellers. Elizabeth became known as the mother of Milford, and Sutherland himself entertained guests with tall tales of sea monsters and hidden valleys full of rubies and diamonds. Between them, they built Milford's first guest house, kick-started the area's tourist trade, and are buried, side by side, out the back of the present Milford Hotel. At one point, Fiordland was also home to about 200 gold prospectors. They all rushed here in 1886 after someone struck gold. But as it turned out, there wasn't much of it, and within a year, there were only half a dozen gold miners left. People started looking for some other way to strike it rich. They tried mining quartz, but it wasn't very good quality. They found oil, but couldn't extract it because the rock was all wrong. They quarried marble for a while, as well as mica, greenstone, and asbestos, but those all eventually failed too. In the end, someone realized the answer was staring them in the face. If there was one thing Fiordland had plenty of, it was trees. The timber industry survived well into the 20th century until it was stopped as tourism took hold. In the next 5 minutes or so, we'll be coming up to Taano Downs, which is the departure point for the famous Milford Track.